Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
There are more than 80,000 wild horses roaming the public lands of the West. Conservationists and the federal government worry that too many wild horses are harmful for the fragile, arid rangelands. Thousands more wild horses live on Native American reservations. As sovereign nations, each tribe makes its own decisions about how many horses their lands can sustain. As part of her new podcast series, Mustang, Ashley Ahern traveled to the Spokane Reservation in Washington State to learn how that nation manages the wild herd.
There are two geese, 22 chickens, two dogs, five guinea hens, and two peacocks at Allison Burke's place on the Spokane Indian Reservation in northeastern Washington.
There's a lot happening out here.
I am here to meet her Mustangs. A gray-blue colored horse stands next to Allison, watching us closely.
That's Blue. He is very flighty. He's got a very, very low fear threshold. So he doesn't really always let me touch him. It's got to be his idea.
Allison has four Mustangs on her property. All of them are from Native American reservations. She introduces me to Jack next. He's a white horse with brown spots all over him, what's called an Appaloosa.
Yeah, and when he got here, he was very, very fearful of people. Lots of trauma at the hands of humans. And with the horse's flight or fight instinct and the abuse that he's had, he doesn't fight. He's a fighter. I have scars on me from him biting, and just me being in too close of proximity.
Allison's been working with Jack for about a year now.
And now he's to the point where he'll do whatever. And he loves attention, he loves hugs and scratches, and he's really come a long way, but it took a while to get there and to build that trust.
Allison has been drawn to horses for her whole life.
Ever since I was a little girl, I've just always seen the horse as my friend, my relative, and not as a thing that's here for my use and my enjoyment, but we're friends, family, and partners, and we work together.
There are more than 80,000 wild horses on federal land in the West, but thousands more live on reservations. Many tribes keep and manage herds on their lands, including the Spokane tribe, as they have for generations.
Yeah, so we had our ancestors bred horses for stamina, speed, as well as the ability to be able to carry a mother and their child. So they bred the war horses and then kind of the babysitter horses.
And today, many tribes face the same overpopulation issues that the Bureau of Land Management faces with wild horses on public lands in the U.S. As sovereign nations, though, tribes are free to decide how many horses they want on their lands and how to hit that target. That's what drew me to Allison and the Spokane Reservation. I wanted to learn about how things are done here. Allison is starting a nonprofit called Spokane Equines in Transition. She wants to help reservation horses that are rounded up either find homes or train them for use in programs to connect kids here with their cultural history.
Our intention is to prevent any horse leaving this reservation going to slaughter. We would prefer to see them placed in homes.
How do horses end up at slaughter from the res?
They're rounded up, and the ones that are desired are kept, and the ones that aren't are put on a trailer and shipped off.
Tribal members are allowed to round up horses and either keep them or sell them if they want to, and that could be to slaughter. Allison told me that over the years, many reservation horses have ended up getting shipped across the border to Canada, where it's still legal to slaughter horses.
How does that make you? Those are tribal members that are doing that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
Angry. Very angry. Because without the horse, we wouldn't have a tribe. So what are you doing to our horses?
Allison sees this as a broken relationship and a disrespect to the hundreds of years of shared history between her people and their horses. She's not opposed to keeping the wild horse population on her reservation in check, but she feels responsible for the horses that are rounded up. And that belief has its roots in the creation story of many of the indigenous peoples of this region. Warren Saylor is a historian and elder of the Spokane. He works for the Tribal Department of Natural Resources, and I met with him while I was visiting Allison on the reservation. He shared the creation story that was passed down to him from his grandmother, who was a member of the nearby Coeur d'Alene tribe.
When Creator put everything here, the plants and the animals, well, as he reached down from Mother Earth and fashioned all of those things, the plants and the animals, the four-legged, the winged ones, those with fins, those that crawl, those that slither, and the two-legged, and placed us upon the land. Well, when he did that in that fashion from Mother Earth, that made us brothers and sisters. And that is the part many people, and including tribes, we kind of forget why we call animals of the earth our brothers and sisters. But that is why. Creator brought us forth all together from the same mother.
Creator gave all beings laws to live by. And eventually, Warren says, the two-legged man rose above the other creatures.
At that period of time, he then gave us a special mind and a special heart. A special mind to be able to think ahead and prepare for seven generations ahead. But also a special mind to always remember those that came before us and all that they told us. And within the two-legged, then he placed a special heart. And within that special heart, it was to always care for your brothers and sisters. Not just those in your lodge, but your brothers and sisters in the forest and on the mountains and in the waters and in the skies.
Warren told me that horses first came to this part of the world in the early 1700s. They arrived with French trappers and explorers, and via trade with other tribes to the south who originally got them from the Spanish conquistadors several hundred years earlier. Horses helped the Spokane and other nations cover more ground for trade. They used them to hunt and forage in the mountains. They would ride them into the rivers and catch fish from their backs.
And that partnership of knowing that's your brother. You're there to help it, and it's there to help you. White people didn't see it like that. And so their connection didn't come as quickly or as deeply.
And that connection ultimately helped indigenous nations in this region fight back against the colonizers that began arriving in waves in the mid-1800s. Warriors would swing their bodies mid-gallop to one side of their horses' shoulders to avoid bayonets and bullets in battle. They were a secret weapon, and a beloved, loyal one at that. The U.S. cavalry knew the horse was the key to the survival of many of the tribes in the West. In 1858, after a string of bloody battles around what is now the city of Spokane, where thousands of Native Americans were killed, Colonel George Wright had his men slaughter close to 1,000 Spokane horses.
What he didn't understand is how many other horses were already here, and just there was still quite a few in this area. And then, you know, a little bit later, when in 1881 we were forced to the reservation, the horse herds were here, and we actually keep those limited, but we always allow some to remain, because that's just part of our culture that they're supposed to be there.
Horses are just one part of the connected web of animals and plants that live on the 150,000 acres of the Spokane Reservation. Too many horses could outcompete the deer and elk that tribal members hunt, or the plants and medicines they harvest from their lands.
So if you have a 10,000 wild horses and they're overrunning your root fields, your bitterroot, your white camas, your brown camas, your medicines, that's one part of your culture versus another. And those are tough questions to answer.
The Spokane have chosen to keep their herd size to between 200 and 250 horses. When that number bumps up to 400 or so, tribal members are encouraged to do roundups, usually on horseback, to bring the numbers back down.
Is the tribe okay with some of those horses going to slaughter?
I don't think the tribe that's not the tribe's decision to be made. That's the individual's.
Once they're rounded up.
Once that is then theirs. Yeah, so that the tribe doesn't play a role in that decision.
Allison Burke believes that sending wild horses from the reservation to slaughter is a sign of a disconnect between her people and their heritage. She hopes her organization, Spokane Equines in Transition, will be able to help heal that while helping the wild horses rounded up here find loving homes. For Here and Now, I'm Ashley Ahern.